OCR GCSE Sociology Podcast, The Role and Functions of Education, a 10-minute revision episode. Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've tuned in because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and exam-critical topics in your OCR GCSE Sociology course, The Role and Functions of Education. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final polish before your exam, this episode is going to give you everything you need to walk into that exam hall feeling confident. Now, here's the thing about this topic. Examiners absolutely love it. It sits right at the heart of the OCR J202 specification, and it tests whether you can do something really important, compare two completely different sociological perspectives, and evaluate which one gives us the better picture of what schools actually do. Those two perspectives are functionalism and Marxism, and by the end of this episode, you'll know them inside out. So grab your revision notes, maybe a highlighter, and let's get started. Let's begin with the big question. What is education actually for? On the surface, the answer seems obvious: to teach children skills and knowledge, right? But sociologists dig much deeper than that. They ask, who benefits from education? Does it serve everyone equally, or does it serve some groups more than others? That's where our two perspectives come in. First up, functionalism. Functionalists take what we call a consensus view of society. They believe that society is like a human body. All the different parts, like the family, the economy, and education, work together in harmony to keep everything functioning smoothly. Education, in this view, performs vital positive functions for society as a whole. The key thinker here is Émile Durkheim, a French sociologist writing in the late 19th and early 20th century. Durkheim argued that education serves two crucial functions. First, it creates social solidarity. That's the sense of shared identity and belonging that holds society together. When children learn the same history, the same language, the same national stories, they develop a common culture. Durkheim famously described the school as society in miniature, a place where children learn to cooperate with people outside their family for the first time. Second, Durkheim said education teaches the specialist skills needed for the division of labor. In a complex modern economy, different people need different skills. Doctors, engineers, teachers, factory workers, and education sorts, and trains people for these roles. Now, building on Durkheim, we have American sociologist Talcott Parsons, writing in the 1950s and 60s. Parsons made a distinction that examiners absolutely love, so pay close attention. He said that the family operates on what he called particularistic standards, meaning you're judged as an individual, as someone's child, based on who you are personally. But the wider society operates on universalistic standards. You're judged by the same rules as everyone else, regardless of who your parents are. Parsons argued that school is the bridge between these two worlds. At school, for the first time, you're assessed by the same criteria as everyone else. You sit the same tests, follow the same rules, and are rewarded based on your effort and ability, not your family background. This leads us to another key functionalist concept, meritocracy. Parsons believed that education is meritocratic, meaning that success is based on merit, on talent, and hard work, and that this is how society allocates people to the roles they're best suited for. The most able students rise to the top and take the most important jobs. This, functionalists argue, is fair and beneficial for everyone. Now, let's flip to the other side of the debate. Marxists have a very different view. Where functionalists see harmony and fairness, Marxists see conflict, inequality, and exploitation. Marxism is a conflict perspective. It argues that society is divided into two main classes, the bourgeoisie. That's the ruling class who own the means of production, the factories and businesses, and the proletariat, the working class who sell their labor. Marxists argue that education doesn't serve society as a whole. Instead, it serves the interests of the ruling class. The most important Marxist study of education you need to know is by Samuel Bowles and Herbert Gintis, published in their 1976 book, Schooling in Capitalist America. Their central argument is called the correspondence principle. This is the idea that the social relationships within school directly correspond to, that is, mirror, the social relationships of the capitalist workplace. Think about it this way. In school, you follow instructions from teachers without question. You work for external rewards, grades, and qualifications, rather than for the joy of learning. You accept a hierarchy where some people have authority over you. You're punctual, you sit in rows, you do what you're told. Bowles and Gintis argued that all of this is preparing working-class students to be obedient, punctual, unquestioning workers in capitalist factories and offices. School isn't teaching you to think critically. It's conditioning you to accept your place in the hierarchy. This connects to another crucial concept, the hidden curriculum. This is the unofficial, unspoken lessons that schools teach alongside the formal curriculum. While the formal curriculum is the subjects on your timetable, maths, English, science, the hidden curriculum is the values, attitudes, and behaviors that are transmitted through the way school is organized. Obedience to authority, acceptance of hierarchy, punctuality, competition. These aren't written in any lesson plan, but they're taught every single day. From a functionalist perspective, the hidden curriculum teaches shared values that benefit everyone. From a Marxist perspective, the hidden curriculum serves the ruling class by creating a compliant workforce and by instilling what Marx called false class consciousness, the idea that working class students come to believe that the system is fair and that if they fail, it's their own fault, not the result of structural inequality. And this is the crucial contrast for your exam. Functionalists say, education creates social solidarity and meritocracy for the benefit of all. Marxists say, education reproduces class inequality and creates false class consciousness for the benefit of the ruling class. One more study worth mentioning, Paul Willis's 1977 ethnographic study, Learning to Labor. Willis studied a group of working class boys in a Midland school, he called them the lads, and found that they actively resisted the school's values, creating their own counter-school culture. Interestingly, this resistance actually led them to end up in manual working class jobs, confirming the Marxist view that education reproduces class inequality, but showing that students aren't entirely passive either. Right, let's talk exam technique, because this is where marks are won and lost. First, the hidden curriculum trap. This is the number one mistake I see candidates make. When you write about the hidden curriculum, you must state which perspective you're applying. Simply saying, schools teach norms and values through the hidden curriculum will not get you full marks. You need to say, from a functionalist perspective, the hidden curriculum transmits shared norms and values that create social solidarity. From a Marxist perspective, the hidden curriculum serves ruling class interests by creating a compliant workforce. The perspective matters enormously. Second, primary versus secondary socialization. Do not confuse these. Primary socialization happens in the family. It's where you first learn language, basic norms, and values. Secondary socialization happens in institutions like school, peer groups, and the media. Examiners will penalize you if you muddle these up. When writing about education, always specify that it is an agent of secondary socialization. Third, for your 12-mark and 24-mark questions, you must include a developed conclusion. Don't just summarize what you've written, actually weigh up the arguments. Which perspective is more convincing and why? You might argue that functionalism is too optimistic because it ignores evidence of class inequality in educational achievement. Or you might argue that Marxism is too deterministic because it ignores the agency of individuals, as Willis's study showed. Fourth, remember your command words. Describe questions, usually worth 6 marks. Want 2 developed features with supporting information. Don't overwrite on these. Allocate 1 minute per mark, so 6 minutes maximum. Save your time for the big essay questions. Fifth, use names sociologists and studies. Durkheim, Parsons, Bowles and Gentis, Willis, Ball. These names earn you marks. Don't just say a sociologist argued, name them. Okay, quiz time. I'll ask a question, pause for a few seconds, then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What term did Talcott Parsons use to describe the standards applied in the family where you are judged as an individual? The answer is particularistic standards. Question 2. What is the name of Bowles and Gentis's central argument about how school mirrors the workplace? The answer is the correspondence principle. Question 3. What term describes the unofficial lessons taught through the way school is organized, such as obedience and punctuality? The answer is the hidden curriculum. Question 4. What Marxist concept describes the working class believing the system is fair when it actually serves the ruling class? The answer is false class consciousness. Question 5. Which sociologist described the school as society in miniature? The answer is Emile Durkheim. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant, you're in great shape. If not, go back and review those concepts before your exam. Let's bring it all together. The role and functions of education is fundamentally a debate between 2 perspectives. Functionalists, particularly Durkheim and Parsons, argue that education serves society as a whole by creating social solidarity, transmitting shared values, and allocating people to roles through a meritocratic system. Marxists, particularly Bowles and Gintis, argue that education serves the ruling class by reproducing class inequality through the correspondence principle and the hidden curriculum, creating false class consciousness in the process. The key to doing well in your exam is being able to apply both perspectives accurately, use named sociologists and studies, and write a developed conclusion that evaluates which perspective is more convincing. Remember, 1 minute per mark, name your sociologists, specify your perspective when discussing the hidden curriculum, and always reach a judgment in your conclusion. You've got this. Good luck in your exam, and I'll see you in the next episode. Keep revising.